The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We have a lot to get to again on today's program. We'll be talking in just a bit about the upcoming German elections. And then also following up on that attack in Barcelona last week, we'll look at the coming clash between radical Islam and a German-dominated European Union. I also just want to go through a couple of articles and a soundbite on the USS John McCain, which had a collision, I think, off the coast of Singapore, maybe. And then a month or two ago, a similar incident with the USS Fitzgerald, some disturbing collisions or crashes there with the U.S. Navy. And coming up, too, in the second segment, we'll be talking a little bit about Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong's book, The Missing Dimension in Sex. This is a book that we use as a textbook here at God's College, and we've been going through it recently in Principles of Living, or more than that, I guess. We haven't gotten into a lot of the content as yet, but we've been talking about just the overall significance and importance of the book. So we'll be talking more about that later on in the show. And if we have time, I know I ran out of time yesterday to get into some of the feedback that's been coming in response to the program and in response to the trumpet briefs that we send out each day. Hopefully we can get through a few emails by the end of the show as well. Well, I mentioned, speaking of the end of the show, yesterday I mentioned this article, the Daily Express, which is a tabloid here in London. It's not the what you would say the most reputable publication in the UK, but it is a tabloid that does get quite a bit of traffic. And every once in a while, if you've listened to our program, we do quote some articles that appear in that publication. So in any event, it referred to an article that Jeremiah Jacques wrote last week or the week before on the North Korean threat. And because of that, it led to this this spike in traffic at our own website, thetrumpet.com, last Friday. And then if you add Friday together with Saturday, which was a strong day for traffic as well, the week, last week, was the highest traffic week that we've had at thetrumpet.com. And then Friday was the best day we've had so far this year. So some encouraging signs there that the message is getting out. Sam sent me a couple more links this morning. These were smaller sites that have also quoted or paraphrased that particular article. So it did get quite a lot of attention, Jeremiah's piece. And, of course, any way that we can get the message out there, we're certainly doing all that we can to make this truth known. I got an interesting email this morning, or one that I thought was really encouraging. This is actually from a UK viewer, someone that watches our TV program over here. And he says, I watch your UK TV ministry slot on Sunday morning every week. He says here, I'm a Roman Catholic by virtue of my birth heritage. He says his father was Polish and his mother's Italian. However, I do not go to church anymore because I've realized that the Catholic Church is liturgy is mere theatrics that offer no profound meaning of the Bible or human behavior in this world. He says, your TV ministry and associated literature, like the trumpet, breaks down the Bible into simple parts in order to underpin current escalating events in the world. He says, the Catholic Church does not do this. And then he closes his email by citing a couple of verses. Matthew 24 and verse 33, he mentions that when you see all these things, then you can know that it's near, then you can know it's right at the door. So he sees just how important it is for God's work to see what's happening in this world. He also refers to Jeremiah 5 in verse 21, another verse, where it says, "O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. What a shame, what a waste it would be, given what we know, to just turn and walk away from it, or to water it down, to liberalize it," as I said about that missing dimension in sex textbook. There was quite a push in 1989 and before that in 1977 to blot out that truth. This is the way Satan works, of course. He's always worked this way. He's a lawless being. And so he wants to erase the truth of God. He doesn't want you to see with your eyes and to hear with your ears. He'd rather us be blind to the truth and to continue on stumbling around in darkness, like so many do in this dark and evil world. Well, what a blessing it is to have our eyes open to the truth of the Bible, and in particular, the third of the Bible, that is Bible prophecy, that shows us what's coming, that tells us where we're headed, that leads us right up to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Of course, there are quite a few prophecies that are unfolding in the lead up to that. This first news item here from Carnegie Europe, the misery of Germany's election campaign. It talks about how that in 2005, Angela Merkel, who was running for office, came out with this big, bold, ambitious plan, this radical overhaul of the tax system in Germany. And it, as it turns out, it was a big flop. And yet she barely got voted in, beating out Gerhard Schroeder. This is from 2005. But the point of this piece was that, you know, that's the way it used to be with political campaigns, is that if you were running for office 10, 12 years ago, you ran on a bold and ambitious platform. Not so much with this year's election. It says here, as Merkel makes a bid to remain in the chancellery for a fourth term, it says, yet instead of presenting new and bold ideas about integration and digitization, energy policy, and Europe's future, Merkel and the leaders of the other main parties are playing it safe and predictable. So it says here, Merkel's own Christian Democratic Union Party has created a kind of personality cult around the chancellor. Stability, security, and a fair wage are the main themes. Not a mention of a Germany that is open to the world. Indeed, it says, the Christian Democrats and their sister party, the Bavarian-based Christian Social Union, have done almost everything possible to avoid any discussion about integrating the 1 million or so refugees and migrants who have arrived in Germany over the past few years. I mean, they're just not saying much about it. And they haven't done much about it either. Well, it talks further in the next few paragraphs about the other parties and how that they're not bringing much to the table either. It says here, such are the choices. This is the conclusion. Such are the choices facing German voters. More of the same seems in the cards. But whoever wins on September 24th, I mean, that's just a little over a month now. Whoever wins on September 24th, such complacency from the leaders of Europe's largest economy could be Germany's Achilles heel. I mean, this could not be so good as far as the long term is concerned. Here we are, just a month out from the elections. And of course, as we watch, as we have eyes to see, as we keep watch on what's happening in Germany, we also know what the Bible says in Daniel 8 about the latter time, the latter days, when a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences will stand up. I mean, here comes a leader with all kinds of ambition, with all kinds of bold, ambitious plans. A fierce leader As my father said years ago, we've repeated this often. He talked about how the empire, the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, it's really there. I mean, the form of it's there. It's just waiting for an emperor to rule over it. I mean, right now there's these boring elections, as this Carnegie Europe piece brings out. More of the same, the status quo. But that's about to be shaken. Your Bible prophesies of this. It says of that Daniel 8 man, you can read about this over in Daniel 11, that he's not going to be voted into office. He comes in by flatteries. In other words, someone's going to hijack the EU. Someone's going to hijack that Roman Empire, that seventh and final resurrection. And that's what we want to be watching for. We'll be keeping our eye on these elections coming up next month. But we're also going to be watching for that emperor, for that fierce leader coming in by flatteries. Herbert Armstrong said back in 1954, he said, all Europe is actually ready, just waiting for the confidence-inspiring leader. That man is there somewhere. He's there. He's there somewhere. And all of Europe is just waiting. The problems continue to mount. As you saw with the attack last week, another attack on European soil, this clash between radical Islam and German-led Europe. Iran, as we've been saying for well over 20 years, is the prophesied king of the South. It's causing all kinds of trouble in the Middle East and elsewhere. It's the number one state sponsor of terror. There was a piece at Radio Free Europe, because there's been this discussion among diplomats that, well, maybe Iran can be brought in as part of the solution in Yemen. And the Yemen leadership is saying they're the problem. They're the ones that caused the problems in Yemen. It says here, Yemen's foreign minister has blamed Iran and its support for Houthi Shiite rebels for fueling the country's civil war, and said Tehran can't be part of the solution. I mean, how are you going to bring in Iran to solve this when they're the ones behind it? The division, the strife. They keep pushing. And of course, we know from that prophecy in Daniel 11 and verse 40 that they're going to keep pushing at Europe until Europe finally breaks out of the status quo and lashes out a whirlwind attack. As it says there in Daniel 11 and verse 40, it's building. And as I say, that attack again on European soil just last week, that's yet another push. Yet another push. Listen to this exchange that was on Fox News, I believe, yesterday regarding the attack and just the problem that Europe has right now. This is clip one.
Nick, talking of Barcelona, we now are getting a sense that this terror cell was probably a dozen, if not more, involved. And they managed to operate and plan this, even though they blew themselves up and ended up having to change their terror plans. But my concern, and I'm sure from yours as well, all across Europe, how many more cells are like this right now making their plans?
Well, I fear the answer is something that we really don't want to even contemplate for a fleeting moment, Ashley. I think that these cells are all over Europe. Mm. I think that years of political correctness and relativism, multiculturalism, have really made Europe an ideal seedbed for these kinds of people. And I fear that we're in only for much more of this. And it's really time for all of Western civilization to realize and acknowledge the threat and take the action necessary to make sure that this doesn't keep happening.
Yeah, they're going to need a leader of fierce countenance to confront this. There's much more of it coming. I think 12 or 13 jihadists involved in that attack in Spain. Multiple attacks, it was supposed to be. had some of their bombs not blown up ahead of time. But you had the bomb attacks. You had the two vehicular attacks. One of them killing 13 people, injuring about 100. I fear that we're in for much more of this. That's what's coming. And what happens, as we've been saying all along, what happens when Germany is hit hard, like it was hit in December last year, that Christmas market? What happens if it hits Munich or Berlin or Nuremberg or some of the bigger cities in Germany? This piece here from Gatestone Institute. Muslims telling Europe, one day all this will be ours. One day it's all going to be ours. Yet another, it refers to the latest terrorist attack targeting Barcelona. It says, as it was for many years under Muslim rule, it is therefore, like Israel, land which many Islamists believe they are entitled to repossess. We're going to take it back, Spain and the rest of Europe. It says, according to Japan's National Institute of Population and Social Security Research, by 2040, this is just a little over 20 years away, by 2040, most of the country's smaller cities will see a dramatic drop of one-third to one-half of their population due to a dramatic demographic decrease. Many Japanese councils can no longer operate and have been closed. Well, that's referring to Japan. It says Europe, further on, is committing a demographic suicide, systematically depopulating itself in what British historian Niall Ferguson has called the greatest sustained reduction in European population since the Black Death in the 14th century. It's a culture clash. That's what's happening with their population. Even as all of these refugees are just still streaming in by the tens of thousands. Well, it gives some projections. What's going to happen 20 years from now? What's going to happen 40 years from now? It says in Germany as well, 36% of children under the age of 5 are being born to immigrant parents. 36% of the children. They're coming from immigrant parents there in Germany. How is Germany going to cope with this kind of demographic change? Well, several prophecies factor in. Talks about how in quite a few of the nations in the European Union, there's more people dying than there are being born. And then all these immigrants, as I say, just streaming in. It says, finally, the New York Times asked why, despite shrinking population, Eastern Europe resists accepting migrants. And then this article says, the shrinking demography is precisely the reason they fear being replaced by migrants. And so it's compounding the problem. The fact that they have no answer, no response, no solution to the refugee crisis. And then they see their own shrinking populations. And so the tension just continues to build. That's in Europe. That's referring to the forthcoming clash and other prophecies, as I mentioned a bit ago, regarding the fierce leader, Daniel 8, Daniel 11. And then meanwhile, you see the United States and you see a sick Ephraim or Britain. You see Judah, little Judah in the Middle East, surrounded by so many enemies. Of course, the United States is supposed to be the world's policeman. But look at what's happening to our Navy. The National Interest says here, the USS John McCain knocked out of commission after a collision just the other day in the Straits of Malacca. So it says that the U.S. Navy is down two ballistic missile defense capable destroyers in the Pacific. That's because the USS Fitzgerald also was knocked out of action a couple of months ago, off the Japanese coast. Two of our battleships or two of our naval vessels taken out because of a collision. It says here in this National Interest piece, the U.S. combat fleet is already overstretched. So, I mean, this comes at a bad time. These two being taken out The overall impact on the Navy should be measured not only in the loss of sailors' lives and unavailability of the ships as they are repaired, but in the possibility that requirements have exceeded capabilities so far that the training needed to avoid such accidents has been impaired. I mean, this article is talking about how that they're not getting enough training, that some of them are being trained on the job. In other words, when they're deployed out and about. And so that's why you see these accidents happening. This next exchange from a Fox News report, I mean, you hear the two, the host and then the expert, talking about how inexcusable this is. And I mean, the whole world is watching. This is clip two.
The search is still on for those 10 missing sailors after the USS John McCain collided with a tanker off the coast of Singapore. This occurring just weeks after the USS Fitzgerald crash. And now the U.S. Navy wants some answers as to how this sort of thing happens again. I mean, ships don't really move that fast, so you'd think something would telegraph this or help avoid this. The former Navy SEAL Team 6 member Dave Sears with us right now. Dave, how does this keep happening?
Neil, it's got to be a systemic piece that's underneath the surface. It's a leadership to begin with. That's a short-term piece. So the leaders aren't doing their jobs on this. This should have never happened.
Who are the leaders you're talking about, though?
I'm talking about the leaders from the top down. So you can go from, you could probably start this back with President Obama and the administration and what happened through the Defense Department. But then it's the leaders that are in charge now, the people in charge of the Pacific Fleet, the people in charge of 7th Fleet. As they're in charge of these ships, there's got to be a culture that they're not promoting. There's something wrong systemically.
All right, but obviously ships don't move all that fast, so there'd be a way to telegraph if they're going to be colliding into each other. Someone even on deck would have to see this. Excuse my simple ignorance here, but how does it happen?
No, that's why this is so baffling and why, to me, it indicates structural problems under the surface with the leadership and the culture of what's going on.
But with there the culture, are so many redundant. I mean, how would the culture have to do with just looking outside and seeing what's around you?
Because if your watchstanders aren't doing their job, so there's redundant systems on there. You have radar, you have watchstanders with night vision, with big eyes. We call them binoculars, big eyes, right?
Right.
And they're watching all that. But if they're not attentive on their watch stations, if they're slack in their duties, if they're relying too much on automation rather than fundamental seamanship skills, then that's the culture that's underneath and that's being promoted. Then you don't have that attention to detail and things like this happen that should never happen.
Should never happen. And yet it's happened twice in 2 months. Whatever the cause, not attentive enough, relying too much on automation. This national interest piece, I touched on it before the clip there, but it continues by saying, because the fleet is being pushed so hard, the Navy might be using its time at sea to train during operational deployments because there's no other option. That's according to Jerry Hendricks, the director of the Defense Strategies and Assessment Program at the Center for a New American Security. Something has to give, he said, and right now it's the training. He says a few years ago it was maintenance. We had a lot of breakdowns. We had a lot of ships that needed to be maintained better. Now it's the training, and you're seeing it in these accidents. It quotes him as saying, we're probably trying to make up training while we're underway during the deployment because there just isn't enough room in the schedule to get it all done. Here, the U.S. has about, 275 ships now. It used to be during the Reagan era, it was, 500, 600? It's just been downsized, slashed, and burned. And even what we have, even what America has, is under stress. There's just no other options. You think about that prophecy in Leviticus 26 about America's might. America's military might being spent in vain. All of this strength that was on full display in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and of course there's the speech last night from the President of the United States. We're going to win in Afghanistan. I mean, there's all these obligations around the world. But what does America have to show for it? What does America have to show for it in Iraq, to take that as an example? Or Afghanistan. Stretched so thin, like the U.S. Navy is. And now these two ships. How does this happen? How does this happen? The host there kept asking. Well, it shouldn't. It shouldn't. It's got to be a breakdown somewhere. There's got to be a systemic cause to all of this. There's got to be a breakdown in the leadership. Lack of training, whatever it is. I mean, these are two pretty big black eyes, and it wasn't even brought on by an enemy state. It was self-inflicted, like so many of the problems that we face. Self-inflicted wounds. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Is prophecy real? Is it anything more than a collection of imaginations, vagaries, and wishful thinking? The answer is no. Human beings have never dreamed up an authentic prediction of the future. The human mind simply isn't capable of it. Such a feat would require godlike power. What about Bible prophecy? Is Bible prophecy real? Is it different than the litany of other failed prophecies that have been discarded throughout human history? Unlike other books, particularly those books that claim to predict the future, the Bible has endured for thousands of years. Something about this book has transcended thousands of generations of human history. And this book, the Holy Bible, claims to predict the future. It claims its prophecies come not from the minds of human beings, but from the mind of their Creator, from the mind of God. Prove the Bible's prophecies for yourself. If you cannot honestly prove them to be true, discard the Bible and move on with your life. But if you can, what a spectacular book the Bible becomes. Request Herbert W. Armstrong's free book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. This book will examine the core Bible prophecies and compare them to history and current events. More than 6 million people have requested this amazing and easy-to-read book. Order The United States and Britain in Prophecy by Herbert W. Armstrong and prove Bible prophecy for yourself. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
Pick up a book about sex in any bookstore, and I'm going to tell you, you will always find one ingredient missing. There is a missing dimension in every book you buy in a bookstore, unless it would be this one. And this one's not for sale in a bookstore. But this one is based on the Bible and is certainly revealed truth from your own Bible, and you can prove that very easily. Now, that may sound a bit shocking to you, but look around. Look at our society and look what's happening.
That's my father from his Key of David program in 2007, 10 years ago, as he was talking about this book, this one being the missing dimension in sex. You can pick up any other book on sex in a bookstore, at a supermarket, and there's going to be one ingredient that's missing from all of them, the missing dimension in sex. That's the title that Herbert Armstrong gave that book back in the late 1960s. As I said at the top of the show, we've been emphasizing the importance of this book for our young people at God's College. I mean, we taught from this book at the Philadelphia Youth Camp just a few weeks ago and encouraged our teenagers to understand the truth, the revealed truth of this book. Mr. Armstrong said, if ever the Western world needed a book, it needs this one now. In no area of human life has there been such drastic social change as in that of sex. And of course, because of this drastic social change, All of the experts would tell you, well, you need the latest, most recent text on the subject of marriage and family and sex. In fact, you need this book. You need God's perspective. You need God's view. Solomon said, of making many books, there is no end. I mean, there's just been, as Mr. Armstrong covers in Missing Dimension, there's just been an avalanche of knowledge on this subject. And so much of it is perverted and Satan-inspired. So much of it is intended to cover up the truth of God. Mr. Armstrong writes here, the so-called new morality, first unleashed by World War I, intensified by World War II, completely KO'd Western civilization during the decades of the 50s, 60s, and 70s. He said, prior to the First World War, it was illegal in the United States to publish, sell, or distribute a book of instruction on the subject of sex. That's just 100 years ago. It was illegal. After World War I, an avalanche of books, pamphlets, magazine, and newspaper articles, teachings on sex descended on the public. Yet in all of this, the most vitally needed dimension of knowledge was missing. It was missing. It's like my father said there in that clip. You go to any bookstore and you pick up a book off the shelf on this subject, and it's going to miss the vital ingredient needed to understand why sex, why marriage and family. And so we've been deluged with all of this information, all of this knowledge, as Mr. Armstrong said in a Plain Truth article, and yet virtually no happiness. All of this knowledge, all of this knowledge about the sex act, and yet look at how many miserable people there are on earth today, in the Western world in particular. I went through some statistics in this morning's class about marriage and divorce, cohabitation, sexually transmitted diseases, premarital sex. I went through some of the latest statistics. It's disturbing to see where we are today as compared to just a generation ago. Well, we are where we are today because of Revelation 12. God says Satan has been cast down to this earth. He's deceived the whole world. Now he's confined to this earth, and he knows he's running out of time. He knows he has a short time. That's Revelation 12 and verse 12. And God says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Satan has come down to you. Satan has great wrath. Satan knows he's about out of time. And so how urgent must we be with this truth, with this message? Let me just read to you a verse in Revelation 12 to give you a little bit of more recent history regarding the truth of God and the fight to preserve it. Revelation 10 and verse 7, it says here, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. As he has declared to his servants, the prophets, it's about to sound, and the mystery of the ages, it should have gone out. It should have been finished. But as some of you know, there was an intense effort on the part of the devil. The devil and his army to destroy the truth of God, to cast the truth to the ground, as it says in the book of Daniel, to bury the truth. Well, it wasn't just Mystery of the Ages. It's this book, too, Missing Dimension and Sex. Mr. Armstrong, he first started working on the book in 1949. He wanted a textbook for his Principles of Living course at Ambassador College. And as he was preparing the notes or preparing the content for that course, he very quickly realized that this was material that needed to reach a much wider audience. And so it came out initially in 1964 under the title God Speaks Out on the New Morality. The New Morality. And he pointed out how the world had gone from saying nothing about sex to saying everything, anything. But so much of it was wrong. So much of it is wrong, this new knowledge. And it's based wholly on physical, material things. There's nothing in these textbooks, in these many publications on the subject of sex. There's nothing in there that explains why God made it, its purpose. In 1971, this was, 7 years after it was first released, as God speaks out on the new morality, the version that Mr. Armstrong distributed in 1971 came under the new title that he had selected, The Missing Dimension in Sex, and that's the title that it had up until the time of his death in 1986. They printed nearly a 500,000 copies of the book in 1971. So you can look at that and then think about where the work was and the tens of millions of people that it was reaching by the time of his death. And I don't have the exact figures, but I'm sure the book went out to 1 million, 2 million at least. Who knows? Mr. Armstrong said in 1980, teenagers need proper knowledge, yet heretofore it has not been available to them. In this age of pressures toward promiscuity, blinded by false teachings, adolescents cannot be expected to resist premarital sex unless their minds are opened to intelligent acceptance of God's purposes and laws for our good, for a more abundant and truly pleasurable and happy life. He goes on and talks about how married people need this knowledge. If their marriages are to be preserved and happy. That's the material. That's the content that God wants for you to have. That's the missing dimension. And Satan wants to erase it. In that program that I just played a clip from in 2007, my father went on to talk about how we had to fight for that book for 6 years in a lawsuit to try to win the rights, not only to Mystery of the Ages, but to the missing dimension in sex as well. Here's what he said, my father, 10 years ago, clip 3.
One of our most requested books is The Missing Dimension in Sex. Now, we spent several millions of dollars to win this book in court so that you might be able to read it. And if we hadn't won, you wouldn't be able to even find a copy anyplace because the attempt was made to totally destroy this book.
They worked, those that followed Mr. Armstrong, the Tkach administration, they too spent millions of dollars trying to destroy the book. I mean, with respect to Mystery of the Ages, Joe Tkach Jr. himself said that he had a Christian duty to keep it out of print. He had a duty before God, the way he viewed it, before his God, I should say, to keep the book out of print because he didn't want you to read it. And the same is true with The Missing Dimension in Sex. I can remember when we were in the midst of the lawsuit fighting for it at a 2002 deposition. My father was there being questioned by the opposition. And this lawyer said, well, why do you need Missing Dimension in Sex? Isn't that just about dating? I mean, can't you get that subject, that content anywhere else? How come dating is so central to your religion? And my father responded by saying, look, there's a lot more in that book about dating. I mean, obviously that lawyer had never read the book. But that's what was happening in the Worldwide Church of God. Herbert Armstrong dies, and then just within a few years, they're putting those works, that revealed truth, they're setting it on the shelf. Or they're hauling it off to dumpsters. Burying it, burning it. My father went through some of that history in that Key of David from 2007. Here's him explaining what happened in 1989. This was a few years after Mr. Armstrong's death, clip 4.
Let me give you a quote from one of the court documents that came out in that court case. And this is what they wrote on September 20th, 1989. Attitudes toward sex have changed radically since the mid-1960s, and The missing dimension is becoming less effective as a result of these changes. In addition, the cost of producing even a paperback version is several times more expensive than a normal booklet. So this court case ended on January 16, 2003, and they are telling us that this book was just outdated, and people were no longer interested in it. Now, that's not true. We get a terrific response from this book. Mr. Armstrong always did. So that really is not the way we see that at all. And then they said, of course, well, it's too expensive. Well, we don't think it's too expensive at all, and that's why we give it to you free. Anytime you want to write for your copy, we would.
And the same is true to this day. I mean, we give it away to you free. You need a copy if you're married. You need a copy for your children. If they're 12, 13, 14 years of age, this is what we were fighting for 6 years. We fought for it. We spent millions of dollars. And they came along after Mr. Armstrong died and said, well, you know what? Attitudes toward sex have changed. They've changed radically since the mid-1960s. And the missing dimension in sex is becoming less effective as a result of these attitude changes. Well, it doesn't apply anymore, don't you know? I mean, we need something new and modern. And, oh, by the way, it's also expensive. Well, as my father brings out in that program, and I had forgotten this until I was getting ready for my lecture last week, He says that, you know, this wasn't the first time that they tried to do away with this book. Again, these are things that we discovered in the process of discovery in that lawsuit. There was the attempt in 1989, as he just read to you there. And then also, even before Mr. Armstrong died, these scholars in the Worldwide Church of God, these scholars who wanted to liberalize the doctrines of the church, they wanted to get rid of the missing dimension in sex. Here's my father going through that history, clip 5.
Notice this document from October 17, 1977, about 22 years earlier. And here's what they said. Some people wrote that wanted to get rid of this book. Our inventory of the missing dimension in sex has been exhausted. It will be discontinued and the code will send a literature out notice. Perhaps if Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong's health permits, it will be updated and reprinted someday. Now, of course, that is not what they wanted at all. Mr. Armstrong at that time, as I said, was alive, but he was near death, and they thought he would not recover and would never come back from a very, very great illness. But he did come back, and he was very upset, and he immediately started printing this book again, started printing it again. And let them know what he thought about it.
That's my father in his 2007 Key of David program, talking about the history there from the 1970s. Look at those leaders, how nefarious and deceitful they were behaving. As Mr. Armstrong was on his deathbed, trying to do away with that text. It's outdated. They used the same excuse, the same lame excuse. Even as they were hoping for Mr. Armstrong to die. He came back from the dead, as it turns out. And he started to distribute the book once again. Well, as my father covered in that program, here there have been two massive attempts to destroy this book, and along with the other writings of Herbert Armstrong. Why? I mean, why were these leaders so intent on destroying these books, this truth? What is it about these books that they don't like? What is it about the content that they hate? You don't see this that often. It's rare that you see this kind of book-burning effort. Why should these books be singled out? The Missing Dimension in Sex. Mystery of the Ages. Well, read it and see for yourself. We'll send you a free copy. I went through some of the latest stats this morning in class, as I mentioned earlier. And that's the only thing about this text, this book that's outdated. Mr. Armstrong has a section in there about where are we? Where are we now after a year into the 1980s? Okay, so that's a little bit out of date. But just update some of the facts and figures. It's like we did with the United States and Britain in prophecy. I think the last version of that Mr. Armstrong printed was in 1980 as well. Quite a few stats right there at the end of that book. And when we first printed that book, we added a section at the end. Here's an update on the stats. I mean, if anything, it's worse. It's much worse than even what Mr. Armstrong described. Same with the missing dimension in sex. And why? Well, because Satan's been cast down. And so we've seen a total breakdown in the family. A total breakdown of marriage and family. Where are we now? Almost two decades into this new millennium. The Pew Research Center, from a couple years ago, it says fewer than half of U.S. kids younger than 18 years of age are living in a home with two married heterosexual parents in their first marriage. I mean, it's a rarity. This is a marked change from 1960, when 73% of children fit this description. It's just been plummeting, these stats. Rapid changes in American family structure have altered the image of who's gathering for the holidays. While the old ideal involved couples marrying young, then starting a family and staying married till death do they part, the family has become more complex and less traditional. Americans are delaying marriage, and more may be foregoing the institution altogether. At the same time, the share of children born outside of marriage now stands at 41%, up from just 5% in 1960. It says, while debate continues as to whether divorce rates have been rising or falling in recent decades, it's clear that in the longer term, the share of people who have been previously married is rising, as is remarriage. And, of course, divorce is much worse today. I mean, the actual statistics might be about the same as they were in 1981, but when you add in all those in cohabitation relationships, those that are living together, breaking up, living together, breaking up, or divorcing, quote-unquote, they're just not officially getting married, so they don't officially get divorced. Look at the moral breakdown. Does that have anything to do with so many of the other problems we see in our society today? Listen to this instruction from a message that Herbert Armstrong gave back in the 1970s, clip 8.
Now, the very foundation of human civilization is the family unit. The family unit has been broken. Families are breaking up today. Divorce now is rampant. About every third marriage ends in divorce, and in some places even more than that. Morals have been on a toboggan slide. Crime and violence have just increased and been rampant. Wars were increasing with greater means of mass destruction until now. The next war, if it's a nuclear war, can erase all humanity from this earth. And that is the number one problem on earth today. In other words, what we have had is human degeneration. Now measure that against the advancements of science and technology. All of the benefits of science and technology are no good with degeneration. They're of no benefit to us whatsoever. And yet science and technology have brought us the weapons that will finally destroy us in cosmicide. We have come to the place where only Jesus Christ can save this world alive. And of course we know he's going to do it. And the first 1,000 years of his reigning on the earth as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is what we've been celebrating here the last 7 days. And what all of you brethren all over the United States have been celebrating in your various places.
That's Herbert Armstrong from a message he gave, obviously, during the fall festival season, the 7 days of the feast. 1979, talking about the toboggan slide that we're on. Morals, crime, violence, just running rampant. Wars and rumors of wars. All this degeneration. And you can see why Satan is attacking the family and why he's trying to bury the truth, like missing dimension and sex. My father in that program, by the way, he went through Ephesians 5. This grand family vision where Paul says to husbands, look, you love your wives just like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Paul said, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. For this cause, this is Ephesians 5:31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and he shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Jesus talked about this in the Gospels. It's referred to in Genesis chapter 2. And here Paul in Ephesians 5 says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I mean, I'm talking about the God family vision. I'm talking about the marriage between Christ and the church. That's why marriage. That's why family. What an awesome truth. Here's what my father had to say about it in that program from 10 years ago, clip 7.
Notice again what Mr. Armstrong wrote in this book, The Missing Dimension in Sex. He says, so grasp this colossal truth if you can. Now, this is deep. I mean to tell you, most people don't get it, and frankly, most of them don't want to get it, because that's the state of mankind today. And it has been from all the way back to the beginning. That's what Christ was talking about. But how many people get it? How many people really believe God? He goes on to write, listen to this. Here is the greatest truth you can ever know. Here is the greatest truth you can ever know. Man, and man only of all life forms God has created, can be born into the God family, the kingdom of God. Animals have never been given family relationship. Angels have never enjoyed family status. The family relationship is a God-plane relationship, not an angel-plane relationship. And God bestowed it on man, because man is to be born into the God family.
That's my father quoting from Missing Dimension and Sex. The greatest truth that you can ever know, that man can be born into the God family, the kingdom of God. Mr. Armstrong goes on to say in his book, of all life forms, whether plant, animal, or angel, in all God's creation, man alone was created for marriage, for home and family life. This is what's expounded upon in the first 7 chapters of The Missing Dimension in Sex. Some carnal-minded lawyer can sit across the table from God's servant and say, well, it's just about dating. Why is dating so important in your church? In fact, that book, The Missing Dimension in Sex, is about the God family vision. It's about why marriage and family? Why sex? It's the greatest truth that you can ever know. That's astounding knowledge. That's something that we want to read and study, and that we want to read and study again so that we can comprehend it, so that we can better appreciate its significance, so that we can bring that vision of family, the God family, the marriage between Christ and the church, so that we can bring that right into our own physical families, and so that those families might be happy and that they might endure. That's where the real strength of the church, of the nation, of the world, that's where the real strength resides. It's in the foundation that is the family. And it all revolves around the God family. This awesome purpose that God's working out here below, revealed in the very first chapter of the Bible. where it says God set out to reproduce himself. And in the verse right after that, it says he created man male and female so that, as Paul discusses here in Ephesians, they might leave their father and mother and be joined together as one flesh, one family, one marriage. That's the vision. That's the God family vision. Try to comprehend it, my father said in that program from 10 years ago. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can always send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow.